Take your Bibles, if you will, tonight, and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I had planned to preach something else here tonight. Matter of fact, had two messages prepared, and about 3:50 this morning, I couldn't sleep, and I had something else on my mind, and so I popped up out of bed and went in and sat down and jotted down some thoughts, and I feel this is what the Lord would have me to bring tonight. Doctrine is good. I love the truth of God's Word. Amen. I love the study of Almighty God and His characteristics. But what I'm going to preach tonight is something that is practical for you and I. And I believe it's going to be something that we are going to have to develop in our lives and put into practice in our lives, looking forward at what lies ahead for you and I if the Lord doesn't return.
Amen.
I certainly expect Him to return at any moment.
Amen.
And I believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But no man knows the day or the hour that He comes. And so we have to prepare ourselves to live in this wicked, evil, vile world. I want to preach a message tonight that's entitled The Key to Contentment. Hebrews chapter 10. If you have that place in your Bibles, I'd ask you if you would tonight to join me in standing as we publicly read from the Word of God. I want to begin my reading at verse number 31. Primarily tonight, this verse number 31, has been preached to lost sinners, and I know that it can be applicable. But that verse is addressed to believers.
Amen.
And it deals with forsaking the assembly.
Amen.
I want to pick up our reading there, and I want to work our way through Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 31, and end our reading with chapter 11, verse number 6. Follow along with me, if you will, tonight. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Amen.
But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Now, some of these you all may be able to relate to. Verse number 33. Partly, whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly, whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry.
Amen.
Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report through faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Beloved, let me just say that word worlds there is akio. That word worlds does not mean what you and I look out here and see with soil and trees and vegetation. That word world properly means an age, by extension, perpetuity. God has created the worlds, the ages, if you will. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. That's a particular people. Go on with me, if you will. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please God. I want to center our thoughts tonight around verse number 38. That verse is nestled right in the middle of our reading. Now the just shall live by faith. Would you bow with me, please, as we pray? Our eternal Father, we come before Thee tonight, So thankful for the privilege that we have to gather together as thy people Amen. In this thy house to encourage one another, to uplift one another in the Lord. But Father, our primary purpose tonight for coming together is so that thou canst receive the glory and the honor and the praise rightly due thy name. Amen. We thank thee tonight for the songs that were sung from the lips of thy people and how they lift our hearts, how they cause us to rejoice in what the Lord Jesus Christ willingly did on the cross of Calvary for our behalf. We thank thee tonight for the promise of thy word that thou art coming again one day to catch us up to meet thee in the air. And so we'll forever be with the Lord, and we're looking forward to that day. But Father, until that day comes, help us, I pray, to nurture in our breast this key to contentment. Help us to realize that the just shall live by faith, that it's necessary, Father, for us to grow and to walk in this wicked, evil world. I thank thee for this church tonight, for sister churches that are represented here, for each of these of thy people that have faithfully come out to hear thy word preached. And I pray tonight that thou wouldst help me to say simply what thou hast given me. Father, recall to my memory thoughts that have crossed my mind regarding this subject, and help me to be a blessing to thy people. Help us to leave here tonight knowing that it was good to be together. And I pray that thou wouldst lift our hearts tonight and encourage us in the Lord. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. When one begins to extract from the average person today their number one concern, many will respond with the economy as their number one concern. Yet we know biblically that all living is not good living. I say that because living only counts when Christ is directing the life. You see, if Christ is not directing your life tonight, you're not living a good life. Paul lived a life outside of Christ, and then following conversion, he lived a starkly different life. He is experiencing what would be termed genuine living. Listen closely to his statement found in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, you see, there's a difference. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul lived his life by faith. I want to develop this thought tonight and ask this question as we center our thoughts and minds around this portion of the Word of God, the just shall live by faith. Are you a partaker of genuine living tonight? Do you know what it is like to live by faith? I dare say many of us in this room tonight have not come close to developing our lives to live by faith. The reason I know that is because it's evident in our conduct. Beloved, I'm just as guilty as possibly you are. Things start to get a little slim in the cupboards. And we run down to the welfare office to see if we can get food stamps. We have a need, and rather than pour out our heart to God to meet that need, we in an inconspicuous way suggest to someone else that we have that need, knowing that they have the capability to meet it. We have a sickness, and the brother prayed tonight that God would be pleased to meet with those and heal those that have cancer. It's a terrible disease. But when one is diagnosed with cancer, many times we will go to a cancer specialist or we'll go to a doctor and gain their advice rather than bending our knee before God and asking God to deliver if it's in accordance with His will. Amen. Beloved, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
All across the earth there is unrest brought about by defiance of God, government, and authority. We saw it on a wide scale in Tunisia and Egypt. And listen tonight, Libya is in the same fight. If you've turned on the news, you see it. And the world is by and large at unrest tonight. And I'll tell you what they're at unrest over. Not what's going on in Libya. Not what happened in Tunisia, and not necessarily what happened in Egypt. But the world, by and large, tonight is concerned with what nation's next.
That's right.
You see, there is a ball that started rolling, and I dare say it may not stop anytime soon. And lest you think it cannot happen in our own land, watch what's happening in Wisconsin. It's a defiance of God. It's a defiance of authority.
Amen.
And it's evident to me that it's not been developed in the home.
Right.
Yep. We at Sunnyview Baptist Church are looking into the home, the aspects of the home, the ingredients of the home. How important the home is. The major concern of national leaders tonight is not when Libya will fall, but rather which nation will follow her.
Right.
A casual glance at the developments in our own land ought to cause us concern. And beloved, tonight, I don't want to appear to be a pessimist. But as long as we as a nation defy God and His law, it won't be getting any better. Don't listen to these media reports that come out of Washington, D.C. that the economy is turning around. This economy cannot turn around until the people of this land, God's people, first and foremost, turn around. It's called repentance, something we don't hear very much of in this day and age. Two days ago, if you've been taking note, Mr. Obama publicly stated that he will no longer support what is termed DOMA. Do you know what DOMA is? DOMA is the Defense of Marriage Act. In 1996, our land signed into law at the hand of President Clinton the Defense of Marriage Act. What that means is that this country stands firm that marriage is between a man and a woman. Period.
Amen.
2 days ago, Mr. Obama said, I will no longer honor that law. Well, who is he? And beloved, when a man stands at the highest level of authority in a nation and says, I will not honor that law, it won't be long before the people rise up and say, you know what? I'll not honor that law, and I'll not honor that law, and I'll not honor that law.
That's right, amen.
But the just shall live by faith. When lawlessness prevails, the citizens perceive themselves as God. Certainly we the people are to think soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, but we're to never think ourselves as gods. I want you to go back to Psalm, if you will, chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. Look at the burden that was on the heart of the psalmist. Psalm chapter 9, verse number 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail, let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord. Notice this. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Think about it. Rest on it.
Right.
Meditate on it.
Right.
We are subject to Almighty God.
Amen.
He does His pleasure in heaven and in earth.
Right.
Who are we? You know, Job asked that question. Job asked a very thoughtful question. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Yes, as we take a cursory glance tonight at our present condition, it is a sad scenario. But I have good news tonight, and it's found in the pages of Holy Writ. I endeavor tonight to support my claim that despite the present or future conditions that you and I may come into contact with, we can genuinely live by directing our attention as the elect of God to the profound statement that we find recorded in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The just shall live by faith.
Amen.
That, my friend, is a quantitative statement. In other words, that doesn't apply to everyone. It does apply to everyone of the elect of God.
Amen.
But that's all that it applies to, for none else can live by faith but the just. The just shall live by faith. It is confined to those that were purchased with the Lamb's precious blood. It is the just that shall live, and that living shall be by faith. I want you to look at another theologically deep question that Job asked. Job chapter 9. Go back one book if you're still in Psalm. Job chapter 9, verse number 2. Brother Jim Duke said tonight, and I echo his words, if you're here and you're lost, I pray that God would be pleased through the preaching of the Word and by the working of His Holy Spirit to draw you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Job had a very deep theological question that he asked. I want you to look at this with me. Job chapter 9. Verse number 1, then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth. Now notice this. But how should man be just with God? If it was not for the Lord Jesus Christ, no man could be just with God.
Amen.
How can a man be just with God? Well, the Bible answers that question for us. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How can a man be just with God? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit. Here's the crux of the matter. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 29 and 30. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Beloved, you look at the language of Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, and it is in the past tense. It is as good as done.
Amen.
I told our Sunday school class, we've been looking through the book of Romans, and I presented it this way. If a child is in Africa and he is to be adopted, and say the Duke family is going to adopt this youngster from Africa. And so they go to a lawyer and they sit down and write up all the paperwork. They draw it up. They read it. They agree to it. And they sign on the dotted line and say, yes, we have agreed by these terms. We adopt this child. It's done.
Amen.
But it's not done in the mind of that child. You see, that child's still in Africa. The adoption's complete. But in time, that child in Africa is put on a boat or a plane, and he's brought to the United States and delivered to the Duke's custody.
Amen.
Now it's become a reality for that child, although it's already done.
Amen.
Now it's done for that child. And when God predestinated, when God elected, when God drew, when God justified, one day when God glorifies, some of those we know now in truth have been complete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the process of glorification in the mind of God is done.
Amen.
One day we'll realize that. It'll happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God. And the bodies of the saints who have been justified, who have been foreloved, who have been predestinated, who have been called by God. My friend, you and I will be changed.
Amen.
We'll be glorified.
Amen.
We'll be in the presence. Of our Redeemer.
Amen.
The one that was sung about tonight, that shed His precious blood on the cursed tree.
Amen.
So that you and I could have imputed unto us His righteousness.
Amen.
That's how a man can be just before God.
Amen.
It takes a perfect, sinless sacrifice. And the Lamb of God made that way possible. We are saved through faith, we live by faith, and we die in faith.
Right.
Let me say that again. We are saved through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, that faith not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. The just shall live by faith. And we will die in faith. I'll show it to you. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Beloved, this is such a pivotal aspect in the life of a believer. I'm going to tell you why this has been so bearing on me in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13. Notice what the Bible says. These all died in faith. Amen. Who? The saints that Paul has taken the time by inspiration to write in this blessed book about. They died in faith. Amen. And God's people, the just shall live by faith. And I promise you this, the just will die in faith. I therefore submit to you this night, as Christians, as followers of Almighty God, as soldiers of the cross, as ambassadors of Christ, as strangers to this world and pilgrims in our journey to our heavenly eternal abode, that this type of living in unison with faith is the only real living.
Amen.
Anything outside of Christ is not living. The ungodly would have one to believe that the more you amass, the better life becomes. But I submit to you that exactly the opposite is true. And I can base it on the Word of God. Turn to Matthew, if you will. Matthew chapter... Well, I'll have to go off memory. I think it's Matthew chapter number 6. I thought I had it written down. Well, let me go to another. Matthew talks about not laying up for ourselves treasures on earth, but I want to show you where it doesn't consist of all the things you can amass. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. That's the philosophy of the world. I'll tell you this tonight, beloved. That is part of the reason why we're in the situation we're in. Economically as a country. Because the government has led the young people to believe in school that you need to get. Get all you can. That's what life is. That's not what God says.
Right.
Luke chapter 12 verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. That's getting all you can get. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Do you know why in part we live in a mentally stressed society? Most of our land is on drugs tonight.
Amen. You're right.
I'm not talking about illegal drugs necessarily.
Right.
I'm talking about medicines that doctors hand out to keep them sane, to keep them thinking right. You know why? Because I think we've amassed too much stuff in this land. Let me give you an example. If you're a lady here tonight, you probably have a lot of jewelry and no doubt you have quite a bit of dresses, I hope. And that's what it's limited to, but quite a bit of dresses in your closet. And do you ever get up in the morning and get ready for church on Sunday and you get a little frustrated and you tell your husband, he says, what's the matter, sweetheart? I just can't decide what to wear. Well, that's because you have too many clothes in your closet. That's the problem. I don't know if this looks... Brother, be careful. You might not be going home tonight. You know, you got the little box that you open up and it's got all the jewelry in there and you think, man, you put this one on, it doesn't look right. And you take that one off and you put another one on, you... Some wear them on all their fingers and their toes. But you just get a migraine headache trying to figure out what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to look like, how I'm going to arrange my body. And men do the same thing. If you're like me, you have too many cars. Maybe you like to fish and you have too many fishing poles. Garner used to tell me, I don't know what fishing pole I'm going to take when I go fishing. And I went to his garage, he'd have them all lined up. I thought about that tonight when they were singing Precious Memories. Our beloved brother who's went on before us.
Amen.
Sometimes, beloved, we have too much stuff. Can I submit something to you tonight? You'll never learn to live by faith if you have too much stuff.
Right.
You think about it. Now, I'm going to funnel this down, and it's going to probably hurt just a little bit. But you know, when you go to the doctor, I told our folks, when you go to the doctor and the doctor pushes and says, "Does that hurt?" And you're like, "Nope." He says, "Does that hurt?" And you're like, "Nope." He comes down here where your appendix is and he pushes down and poof, says, "Does that hurt?" "Yo!" Oh. He said, "We're going to have to do something about that." Well, if it hurts tonight, you need to do something about it.
Amen.
Genuine living is not based on possessions, but rather on providential care.
Amen.
For the just shall live by faith. Not by what we can mass in our tornado shelters and our underground bunkers. You might see where I'm starting to go with this. This truth is not embraced by many because many have not the faith of God. And I say that in love. You may be thinking, who is he to draw such a damning conclusion? What saith the Scriptures? What saith the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth? I'll tell you what he says in John chapter 6, verse 66, which is an amazing compilation of numbers. John chapter 6, verse number 66. Let me go to verse 65. "And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by my Father." That's predestination. That's election. That's doctrines that the world hates. And look how the world responds. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Consider the amount that embraced the truth in Paul's day. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. "Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Sound like the average Christian today? What about our day? I mean, let's fast forward to 2011. Does God's Word say that the masses will run to His small flock, you know, little as much if God's in it? What a wonderful truth. Does the Bible say that it's going to get better? Everything's going to work out. Sit back in your beds of ease. Don't sound off. Don't worry about witnessing. You'll have plenty of time to do it. Is that what God's Word says? Let me show you what God's Word says. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Doesn't matter what I say tonight. What saith the Almighty? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is charging young Timothy. Verse number 1, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom."
Amen.
"Preach the word.
Amen.
Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Notice this. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." But I'll tell you what they will do, because God said it. "They will after their own lust heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Look like we're going to have a lot joining in with our ranks and saying, "Come on, Brother Sean, let's go forward for the Lord." No. It may come to the point that Brother Sean stands alone.
Right.
The just shall live by faith.
Right.
You see, truth separates. It encourages the elect, drawing them ever so close to their master, who, by the way, grants life. And it enrages the lost, driving them back to their master. For no man can serve two masters.
Right.
Too often, I fear, we get caught up in the activities of the world because we are so polluted with TV and radio.
You got it.
Rather than, thus saith the Lord, carefully exchanging the mold of death for the bread of life. If there were ever a time when we ought to be buying the truth and selling it not, beloved, it's now.
Amen.
You let the world lead you around and it'll show. The world is rapidly abandoning truth. And you know what? You feast at their table too long and you'll abandon truth too.
Amen. Amen.
Yep.
Thus, as the Lord's church, which by the way is the pillar and ground of the truth,
amen,
we will find ourselves hated of all men and persecuted. So what do? What's the plan? We know it's not going to get any better. You read your Bible. We know that there are going to be many that depart from the fold. Read God's Word. So what are we going to do? Do we run to Walmart and take $100 each month and stock up on 22 and 45 ammunition? Do we take $150 a month and send it off to a place that specializes in dehydrated foods and dig a hole in the ground and we're going to bury all this food because we can't take the mark of the beast if that happens, you know, if you don't believe in the imminent return of Christ and pre-tribulational rapture? But we can't do that. So we're going to have to get some MREs, some meals ready to eat. What do we do? What does the Bible say we should do? You see, beloved, when we focus our attention on us, and when we concern ourselves with this present evil world, it has a negative result on our living. So then, how should we live? What is real, genuine living? And now I'm going to get to 4 points. That was my introduction. My people are so patient with me. It's some of you, well, the Lord's people. But I'll move through this quick, but it's important. Because the world would have you to believe that you need to take all your resources and you need to diversify. You ever heard that? Diversify your portfolio? Well, I'm not saying we should just crawl in a hole and pull a blanket over our head and say, oh, woe is me. We ought to be wise in what we do.
Amen.
But don't put all your stock in that. And I'll show you why.
Right.
Because the just shall live by faith.
Right.
Let me ask you a question tonight. You buy yourself a .357 Magnum. And you buy yourself a lot of bullets. And I've been getting emails saying, you know, the end is coming. Allegedly, we're going to go to a paperless society as far as money is concerned by the end of this year. Okay. So you've amassed your thousands or hundreds of thousands in the bank and it's not going to be worth anything because you're going to have to take it and exchange it for what the government says. Okay. So you got to run and invest all your money in metals. And I've been looking into silver. I'll tell you, and I'm almost convinced myself that's not the thing to do. And the passage of God's Word that's convinced me that is, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped together treasures for the last days. We as God's people need to come to the faith, to the place in our lives where our faith is developed to the point that we trust God.
Amen.
But that's hard to do.
That's right.
And we can't wait until society gets to a moneyless system and they put things in your retina or they scan the palm prints or put the chips in your wrist or whatever they have planned. We can't wait for that and then say, oh, we're going to live by faith now. No. Because you won't. The just shall live by faith. That is an ever-present active tense. That means tonight we need to begin, if we haven't been, living by faith. I'm not saying be silly. I'm not saying go out here and sit in the middle of the road and say, well, I have faith that this big truck coming down the road is not going to hit me. What do you think, Margaret? And she's over there saying, I think you're right. No, that's not living by faith. God's given us wisdom. But beloved, think about this. You stockpile your closet on .357 ammunition. What are you going to do with it? I'll tell you what you'll do with it if you do that. You're going to use it. You're going to murder individuals. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill.
Amen.
So if the government comes up to my house and they bang on my door and they say, Mr. Trescott, we're seizing your property. Well, I'm glad you stopped by. Is that the right answer?
No, it's not.
Is that living by faith?
No, it's not.
Beloved, I'm serious tonight.
That's right.
Because there are many of God's people that are taking their resources and they're stocking up on food and paper items and ammunition and guns. And they've got this whole thing mapped out. Well, let me ask you a question. I wish I could talk to somebody I know who's doing this. Normally they don't want to talk to me. At least too long. What are you going to do when that runs out?
That's right.
That's it.
Think about it.
That's right.
You got to buy more.
That's right.
And guess what? That's not going to be easy to do for God's people.
That's right.
The just shall live by faith. Let me give you four things tonight that will help you to genuinely enjoy life. I'm not talking about fretting. Every time you turn on the news, you're going to see bad stuff from here on out. I'll tell you that right now. I very rarely turn on the news. People at church will ask me about something, and I'm dumbfounded. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. I just go along with it. You know, if you say so. I try to every once in a while watch Fox News. That's about the only, well, let me get out of politics. CNN's okay, I guess. Let me give you four things tonight that will help you to live genuinely, to live happily. Number one, if you are convinced that God predestines all things, it will help you to live a happy, contented life.
You're right.
The just shall live by faith. I have faith tonight that whatever happens, God has foreordained for it to happen for a particular reason. Now, we don't know the reasons, but we simply need to pray and ask God to reveal to us the purpose for which this is happening in our lives. And if it pleases God not to do that, to give us the grace to bear a good testimony for Him. Think about Job. Job didn't know why those things were happening. But all the measure of faith, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him.
Amen.
The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
What faith? Convince and be convicted of the fact that God predestinates all things. Nothing happens by accident in the economy of God. Now, so far as the world's concerned, there may be accidents that happen. To them, not to God. God's in control of everything.
Amen.
And in the life of a child of God who's living by faith, we should never suffer an accident. It's purposed and planned for our own good. Well, what's Romans chapter 8, 28 say? For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. They all work together for good. Lee Hamill was preaching a message that I listened to, and he said, I'm convinced that all things are good. You know, I used to say that verse doesn't say all things are good, but they work out for good. Well, if God's purposed and planned it, even though it may seem bad, it's good.
Amen.
Because God purposes the best for His children to help us grow.
Amen.
I've got some passages tonight. I see you all don't have a clock on the wall. Somebody in a church had a clock, and it had the verse that says, remember Lot's wife underneath of it. Anyway, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 lets us know that nothing happens by chance. The wisest man in all the world said, to everything there is a season and a time that's appointed by God. The steps of a good man, as we heard tonight by these two ladies that sang, our steps are ordered of the Lord. There's no accidents in the life of an individual. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 3 through 6. God predestinates everything.
Amen.
Let me go on to the second point. If you want to genuinely live a happy life, be convinced that God not only predestinates, but God provides.
Amen. Yeah.
Is the answer to our future peace and success rooted in investments? Well, what does God say? Let's see what God says. Matthew chapter 6. Let me go back there now. Matthew chapter number 6. Verse number 19. If you have a lot of money, maybe it's wise for you to get platinum. Maybe you need to get some ounces of gold and maybe silver and stick it away. What's the Bible say? Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You ever thought how you lay up treasures in heaven? I mean, we can't whip out our checkbook and write a check to the treasury of heaven, can we? Can't send it in an envelope and send it to the Lord. No, you can't do that. So how do we lay up treasure in heaven? Remember what the Bible said to the rich man who came and asked him, Lord, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, do this and this and this and this and this. And he said, hey, I've done all those for my youth. And Jesus said, yet one thing thou lackest. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and then shalt thou have treasure in heaven. Now, covetous people don't like to hear this.
Right.
Greedy people don't like to hear this. Those ones that don't live by faith, but let me tell you how you lay up treasure in heaven. You take what God's given to you, and you give it to others that need it.
Amen.
And when you do, you lay up treasure in heaven.
Amen.
See, God doesn't gauge our profitability on this earth by what we die and leave behind.
That's right.
No, that goes against us. That condemns us. God gauges our profitability by how we've used the substance that He's given to us. You want to live a happy life? Be convinced that God provides. I put a couple things here that I thought up this morning. Any investment in the riches and substance of this world is a bad investment. Let me say that again. Any investment in the riches or substance of this world is a bad investment. And you know why? Because the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, that this earth is going to be destroyed. It's going to be dissolved. It's going to be burned up. Remember the differentiation I made between worlds and earth? Take some time and you can study that out in your Bibles as well. World speaks of ages or people. Let me give you something else to think about. Investments bring headaches while you possess them and heartaches when you lose them. Elijah. Did Elijah go and fill up bunches of barrels of water and then earnestly pray that it might not rain upon the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months? No. No, the Bible just says that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He thirsted. He had physical needs. But he didn't let that stop from what God commanded him to do. And it rained not upon the face of the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Elijah didn't provide for his own needs and then pray for God to stop things. No, Elijah lived by faith.
Amen.
Now, did God leave Elijah to dehydrate and to starve? Sure didn't. He led him by the brook Cherith, did he not? For a year, that brook continued to flow. He sent the ravens.
That's right.
To bring choice meat. Ravenous birds. Birds that eat what they're carrying to Elijah. And they swoop down. They fly right up to where the man of God is. And they probably perch and drop it off in his lap. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. I know they weren't flying through the air. Some say going, oh, oh. And Elijah's looking up because they had dropped the stuff out of their mouth. But I think they dropped it in his lap. I don't even know that it's not impossible for God to have dropped it in the mouth of Elijah. He may not have even had to touch it. Oh, we serve an awesome God.
That's right. Amen.
Are you living by faith tonight? Or are you living by what you can see and what you can touch and what you can feel? That's not living by faith. If you own riches tonight, that is not wrong. I'm not against riches. Listen, let me tell you something real quick. I got convinced that I needed to put money a few years ago in a 401k plan. And so to escape paying some taxes and to get a little better return, because that's not taxable and it comes off your net amount, I took some money and I shoved it away in a 401k plan. You know what I did for the next 6-8 months? I'd run back and I'd check the 401k. Oh, it's gaining. Woo! Run back and I check it. Ooh, it gained a couple more. It's gone up. Then you know what happened in 2008? And it is just now back to what I put in there 4.5 years ago. And I don't even look at the reports anymore. Because I started getting upset. And I started watching that. Rather than trusting God. Is there anything wrong with 401k plans, Brother Sean? I don't know, because my money's still in there. But I'm inclined to think that it's probably not a wise choice for God's people, because the just shall live by faith, not by 401ks. I don't know, beloved. I'm speaking to myself tonight as well. Amen. We need to be convinced that God provides, and then we need to act like it. Right. Not just serve Him with our lips. But we need to deep down in our heart know of a surety that God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. Amen. My God will provide. Let me give you number three. Convince yourself, based upon the authority of the Word of God, that God protects. Amen. God predestinates, God provides, God protects. And again, is the answer to our future peace and success rooted in thoughts, in armament, in ammunition? Well, let me tell you what the prophet says in Isaiah chapter number 31. Isaiah chapter number 31. I know I'm out of time. I'll hurry. Isaiah chapter number 31. What do? Do we stockpile our closets and our basements and get ready to take on the world? You know, come get me, Mr. Obama. I'm a Christian. Well, what's the Bible say? Number 31, or chapter 31, verse number 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Egypt is a type of what? If you study, it's a type of the world. Amen. All right? Listen to this. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many. And in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet He is also wise and will bring evil and will not call back His words. This speaks of Almighty God now. Amen. But will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God. And the United States Army and the United States Navy and the United States Marine Corps and the United States Air Force and the United States Coast Guard are men, not God. Amen. I know, I served with the Army for a while. And their horses, flesh, and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out His hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. Amen. You want a formula for failure? Run to the government and get your advice.
Yeah. Amen.
And you'll fail. Right. You want to be a success? Oh, flee to this blessed book.
Amen.
And let's put it into practice in our lives. Will it hurt? Yeah, it will. It hurts me thinking about it. But if it hurts, we need to do something about it. God protects. I've got so many passages here, I don't have time to go through it tonight. Psalm chapter 91, Psalm chapter 34. No plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. The Lord protects. He builds a bulwark around His people. Listen tonight. We've been studying in our family devotions the life of David. A.W. Pink pens a wonderful book. It's about 2 inches. It'll take us probably a year and a half to get through it. We read a little day and talk about the passage and apply it to our own lives. Do you know that David never lifted the sword against Saul? And he had two occasions easily to take his life. Easily. I'm talking a man that put a stone in a slingshot. There was not a number of occasions he could have taken his life, but two very easily. Did he do it? No. David said, I can't raise my hand against the anointed of God. How about Elijah and Ahab? Elijah prays that it won't rain, and Ahab, when you look in that matter, Ahab at the third and a half year, you know where he was found? He's found out in the desert looking for water. Look, his servants ain't even out there. Ahab is out there looking for water. You know what he did for 3.5 years? Probably 3 for sure. He was trying to find a man of God. I think he would have wrung Elijah's neck if he could have found him. He'd have hung him from the highest totem pole in the land. Well, who protected Elijah? I'll tell you who. Our protector. God. I think of Stephen. Stephen stoned. He bows down and the stones are flying in. Did he pick up a couple stones and get even? No. Did he throw them back and try to hit somebody between the forehead and said, I'll show you? No. He knelt down and he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. How about the Lord Jesus Christ? The most powerful of beings. Maybe not physically, but I know spiritually he was.
Amen.
He willingly laid down his life. No man took it from him.
Right.
Did he start yelling back? Did he start smacking back? No. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah.
None. God protects. Lastly, I know you're saying, whew, I'll never get called back here. Let me give you point number four. Be convinced that God preserves.
Amen.
God predestinates, God provides, God protects, and God preserves. Is the answer to our future peace and success dependent on winning God's favor? No, if it was, we'd all fail.
That's right. Amen.
We can't win the favor of God. There's none good, no, not one.
Amen.
Where is our hope tonight? Is our hope in vaults? Is our hope in dehydrated food? Is our hope in armament? If so, my friend, you will be disappointed. You will be. Mark it down. Put your complete faith in God, and He will not fail you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. If you're a child of the King tonight. Again, I have a lot of scriptures that I skipped over. If you want them, I'll be happy to give them to you tonight after the service. But let me say this. If you're lost here tonight, the only light in your dark state that I can present before you is the gospel. And it encapsulates the very one of God who is the light, in whom is no darkness. As John stated in chapter 1 of his epistle, He, speaking of Christ, is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If you tonight will repent of your sins and trust completely in the provision God has made through the shed blood of His only begotten Son, believing that God raised Him from the dead for your justification, you shall be saved tonight.
Amen.
If you act on that repentance and faith, you can be just before God tonight. What does that mean, Brother Sean, that I'm going to have a life of ease? That I'm going to get everything that I want? That I can listen to this fellow down in Texas and God's going to be so kind to me? Oh, God will be good to us. But you're going to suffer some tribulation. And you're going to suffer some persecution. And oh, by the way, your faith will be tested.
That's right. Amen.
And God will design us as His vessels to be able to live by faith.
Amen.
I know it's a bleak outlook when we look ahead at what we see on the media, what we read in the papers, what we know that will come to pass when we read the blessed Word of God. That's a bleak picture. But that's not where our hope is.
Amen.
Our hope is in God. Our hope, that blessed hope, is in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a song in the hymnal. I think it's hymn number 351. Take some time, read that hymn that is written based on Romans chapter 1, verse 17, which says, as well the just shall live by faith, which is, as it is written, is found in Habakkuk. And read the words to that song. And ask yourself the question, am I living by faith? The just shall live by faith.
Amen.